I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. In recent days, we've been looking into the book of Psalms, and we want to continue that thought today about how that we can be delivered from the things of this life, and we can have hope as people of God. And you as a person today can have hope, because that hope can come from the Lord Jesus Christ as you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Well, today we want to look at this subject found in Psalm 43, verses 1 through 5. And of course, this is the entire Psalm, verses 1 through 5. And, you know, there's a question that men ask when the trials and storms of life gather. And often you'll hear people say, well, why do good things or why do bad things happen to good people? And my question to you today is, has this question ever plagued your mind? Of course it has, and we all want to know why the bad things in life happen to good people that we know, or even to good people like ourselves. And one day a woman asked R.C. Sproul that particular question, and his answer to her was a classic. Dr. Sproul said this, "I don't know. I haven't met any good people." Well, his answer was designed to accomplish two purposes. First, it was designed to remind the lady that we are all sinners. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We come into this world as sinners because of one man, and that one man, of course, is Adam. And then he also wanted this person to know that none of us are really good people. There's none good, no, not one, the Bible says. And secondly, he wanted her to understand that no one is immune from trouble. And this second truth is driven home in Psalm 43, verses 1 through 5. And it would seem that the author of this psalm is going through a time of stress, a personal attack, and inner turmoil. His life has brought him face to face with circumstances that are out of his control. They brought him pain and confusion, and this pain and confusion is brought to his heart. He feels it deeply within. Well, the fact is this. We've all faced times in our lives when we were embroiled in turmoil, pain, and heartache. And those are times of life that define us as believers and confirm or deny our testimony concerning our faith in and as we look at our love for Jesus Christ. As we read this psalm, Psalm 43, it becomes quickly evident that the psalmist is a broken man. And, yet for this, he clings to his faith in God. As this man lifts his prayer to the Lord, he cries out in his despair, "Oh, deliver me!" And I want to look at this man's prayer for deliverance from his troubles for a few moments here. And I want us to see both the depth of his pain and the height of his faith in the Lord. And we need this because there are times when we all cry out to the Lord, "Oh, deliver me!" This psalm offers us some reasons for encouragement in the midst of our troubles. First of all, I see the believer's cry here. From the beginning of this psalm, we're introduced to a man who's in touch with the Lord of heaven. If there ever was a reason to rejoice in difficulty, it lies in the fact that we have access to God. In Him, we find all the help we need to weather the storms of life. First of all, I want you to notice with me in verses 1 and 2, you see a cry for liberty. The psalmist feels trapped by his circumstances, and he cries out to God for deliverance. Do you ever feel trapped? I sure do sometimes, but I'm thankful that our God is the great liberator. The psalmist wanted to be delivered from, first of all, the slander of men. And verse 1 says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." Evidently, the psalmist has been attacked by others. He feels that he's been done wrong, and He's been hurt by the words and actions of others. He pleads for God to get involved and to vindicate him before his enemies. And just so you know, everyone gets done wrong from time to time. When that happens, what are we to do? We are to leave all judgment in the matter up to the Lord and refuse to seek any sort of vengeance. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." We are to forgive and forget the matter, according to Ephesians 4:32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And according to Matthew chapter 5, we are to love our enemies. And you know, that's not easy. When we say we need to leave anything that we feel that needs to be done to a person who does us wrong, it's not easy to say, "God, you take care of this." But as the children of God, we need to look to him and depend on him to do as he says in the Word of God, what he says he's going to do. And we should not seek the vengeance on our own. And, you know, sometimes we just want to lash out, but God says, "You leave it up to me, and I'll take care of the situation." Well, not only do I see that, but in this psalm, the psalmist wanted to be delivered from the slander of men, and he also wanted to be delivered from the silence of God. He says in verse 2, he says, "For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" You know, often in the troubles of life, it seems that God is totally unconcerned about our situation. And we pray and nothing happens. We cry out to him and there's no answer to be heard. We suffer and still the pain remains. Well, the psalmist wants the Lord to speak to him about the situation, but the Lord remains silent. I want you to notice that when these times come our way, we need to remember that the Lord operates in ways that we cannot comprehend. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We need to understand that God's timetable is not the same as our timetable, and that when it seems he doesn't care, he still knows about our situation, and he will act when the time is right. In Mark chapter 4, and verse 37 through 41, the disciples were in a ship, and it says there, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship," that's Christ. "He was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, we need to look to our Lord for deliverance. We need to understand that when he doesn't answer immediately, we need to understand this, that his timing is better than our timing. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Well, the psalmist also wanted to be delivered from the sorrow of heart. In Psalm 43 and verse 2, we read about that. The psalmist wanted to be delivered from the sorrow of his own heart. He says in verse 2, "Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" Well, his question could be stated like this: "Why am I letting the actions of a few godless people control my life?" And this is a good question. When we reach the place where our troubles and the negative people and circumstances of life control our joy and steal our peace, we need to ask ourselves the same question. And, you know, Jesus has promised us His peace and His joy. In Philippians 4:7 it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then again in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you," Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If what Jesus said is true about giving us peace, and it is, then when we allow the trials of life to take the wind out of our spiritual sails, we have no one to blame but ourselves. No one can steal your joy. You have to give it up all by yourself. Well, the psalmist of Psalm 43:2 knows where his strength lies. He calls on God because his circumstances are beyond his control. There are situations that he cannot fix, and he knows this. And because he cannot fix the situations of his life, he calls on the name of the Lord, knowing that God alone has the power to fix what he can't. And there's no use in you worrying or letting the broken things in your life that you cannot fix consume and control your life. And the best thing you can do is learn to bring it to the Lord. Stand in his strength and watch him work it out for you. I want you to notice in Psalm 43:3 it says, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles." Let God take control of your life. Let him lead and guide you, and let him do the things that he needs to do that you want to do and you can't do. Let him take care of it. And then as we look to him, in verse 3 it says, "Send the light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles." I wonder today, as we stop here, and we'll continue this in our next study in Psalm 43, verses 1 through 5. We'll pick up here with verse 3. I wonder today, has there been a time in your life when you said, "Lord, I can't do it. I just give up, Lord. I just don't know where to turn from this point." Now, you may not have said, "Lord." You may have said, "I'm just throwing in the towel of life. I just don't know what to do from this point." Well, if that's you, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You need to understand that you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried, and he resurrected for you. And if you will trust him today to save you, he says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you want to be saved today and be on your way to heaven, ask Jesus to save you. Ask him to come into your heart right now. And as a Christian today, cast all your care upon him. Let him lead and guide you.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.